Time for our text this evening in Psalm 9. Psalm 9. As we come to a close of this portion of God's word, I trust that God has given me a word in season, even for today. We will read from verse 1 down to the end of the psalm. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne, judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. And he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord. Do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Part of the message this evening is simply this. And it's not meant as a question, it's rather meant as an exclamation. How fragile is man? Oh, how fragile is man? If ever anyone is to be brought to know how fragile they are, and their head, the fact that they are a hair's breadth away from eternity and from the judgment of God, they will be brought to acknowledge the Lord. They will be stirred within to cry out in repentance and faith. Of course, only the Lord can do this work. Only the Lord can do this work. Even as we read just now in Daniel 4, what an amazing work of grace. Even the most evil of dictators like Nebuchadnezzar, God moved in his life, brought him low, and brought him to not boast of himself anymore, but to boast of the Lord of heaven. I have to say it's been, as we prayed earlier, and has been stated by some others today, the last few days have been a very eerie, there's been a very eerie atmosphere. I can't say across the whole country, because I'm not across the whole country, but just in this little corner of the country that we are in, there's been an eerie atmosphere. You know, at times like New Year's Day, or especially Christmas Day, you'll see nothing on the road, nothing on the streets, nobody around really, hardly, apart from the odd people walking. But that doesn't feel eerie. That's just strange. That's just unusual. But there's been an eerie atmosphere. You can't put your finger on. And I believe it's touched all of us. This feeling of helplessness, this when we're hearing of such bad news at the moment, maybe some of it is overplayed, some of it's downplayed, but nonetheless there is a feeling that is pervading, that is such as I haven't experienced for a long time. And yet, as I've noticed, as I observe people talking, because that's when you listen to the radio and you listen to phone-ins, talk radio, you'll hear this is the only subject being covered by every presenter. And when anyone ever dares to mention God, almost 100% of radio presenters have come up with a sneering, mocking, atheistic view. Someone suggested, now I'm not necessarily advocating you do so, we do such things, and but if people want to do them, I haven't got a problem with doing that. Someone suggested, what, the USA is having a day of prayer. Why can't we have a day of prayer? They were shot down just like that. Mocked. I don't think this has got anything to do with God. How foolish. And yet we must ask ourselves, would that not have been us? Would that not have been our attitude? If we had not come to know God in the gospel, if we had not experienced God's grace and mercy, we would be just the same. Children of disobedience, fools, foolishness, at enmity with God, refusing in any way to acknowledge the Almighty in anything in life. Not just this particular thing which is in the headlines at the moment. All manner of problems and tragedies that go on in this world. God is pushed to the sidelines as if he does not exist. How fragile is man? How fragile is man? Even the atheistic, which I believe is the general slant of things at the moment, even the atheistic speaking about this particular health epidemic that is going on right now, even the way people are speaking about it, even such people acknowledge that life is fragile. Even the people who are mocking God are fearful. You can hear it in their voice. They're fearful of such things, the fear of the unknown. Well, the child of God, the one who follows the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's born again of the Spirit of God, the one who's tasted God's grace, the one who knows God, has a living hope. Has a living hope. And in the midst of this gloom, in the midst of this doom at the moment, I want us hopefully to be stirred up and encouraged, built up afresh for another week as we go into the world to deal with such things and to see beyond this present situation and to see the glory that is to come and to see that there is a God Almighty who is on his throne and who is doing all things according to the counsel of his own will. And he is doing all things well, and he is bringing all things to pass. And all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that has not changed. It has not changed. Coronavirus has not changed that. If coronavirus could change that truth, God would have ceased to be God. And that's what we have. That's the foundation that we have. That God is in control of everything. In the midst of the mass hysteria that there is, and perhaps we are dragged along with it to a degree in our fleshly self, in our fleshly worries and concerns, amidst the mass hysteria and genuine concern, because we don't seek to be like some churches who just go mad at such situations, and all they talk about is doom and gloom and about judgment. And sure, God's judgments are going on all around the world, left, right and centre, in everything that's coming to pass. But they look for things like this, and they look to just bash people with just judgment, that's it. But that's not all there is to speak of at such times as now. In the midst of genuine concern over this most serious of diseases, which yes, only affects a certain percentage of people, but we are concerned of loved ones ourselves, which appears to be ravaging the whole world at various levels. Surely then, this is an opportunity afforded to us by God. This is an opportunity afforded to us to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. To preach the good news of God's sovereign grace in Jesus Christ. You see, people are looking at their news feed, however they get their news. One thing that distinguishes all of the news, whatever form of news outlet they use, they all have this in common. They cannot get an absolute answer. Nobody can give them an absolute answer. But in the midst of all of these things and other things which are going on in the world, we have this opportunity to proclaim that which is steadfast and certain, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that those who are touched by this gospel, those who this gospel is for, it is the greatest news ever. And it is the greatest, firmest of foundations. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the rock of salvation. And if they're in Christ Jesus, if they find themselves fleeing to Jesus, not from the coronavirus, not from wars and rumours of wars, not from the economic problems of the world, whatever it is, but ultimately fleeing from the wrath to come, fleeing from the wrath to come for sin, fleeing to know the forgiveness of sin, they will know themselves on a firm foundation and be able to say, I know not what comes to pass tomorrow, but I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's all we've got. But that is the greatest of things. Now, firstly, as we look at these words at the end of Psalm 9, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. This is amazing, although no big surprise, because the Lord never ceases to surprise in that sense. How he has seen to it that we are looking at verse 20 of Psalm 9 this evening. It's not that I sought out a message that can speak to the certain situation that's going on in the world right now. God saw to it that we would be in Psalm 9 and we would be finishing Psalm 9 this evening. Because God Almighty is sovereign. And so I hope that as this recorded message goes out, that not only for those who are here present this evening, but those who may hear it later, that this message may be a clarion call to stand firm, to be comforted in these things, and yes, if God be gracious, to save his people from their sins. And that we would be energized to go forth into the world in which we've been placed. To give people good news. Whether that good news is around the coffee machine at work when everyone's talking about the gloom. Whether it's when you're going in to install a new boiler. Whether it's across the garden fence. Whether it's in the shop when you're complaining about the lack of goods on the shelves. Oh, that we would have something to say. And that God would open our mouths to be able to tell such who are dumbfounded and depressed at what's going on, that there is good news, there is light in the midst of darkness. Firstly, all of us are mortal. That's clearly taught here by God's words. All of us are mortal. If ever there's anything that people needed to be taught in every age, in every circumstance, it is of the brevity of human life. This life, this physical life here below, is not forever. But there is eternity to follow. And therefore, in this short time that we live here below, we need to know whether we be on that narrow road that leads to eternal life, or whether we be on that broad road that leads to destruction. All of us are mortal, and we all shall come to know, we shall come to that which the scripture speaks of being an appointment. An appointment. We have many appointments in this life. Many are cancelled. Many are brought forward. Many we miss. This one shall be kept. This one shall be kept, and it shall, no one can stop it. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Put them in fear. Put them in an acknowledgement. Put them in a reverence to consider that they are but men, but mortal. That's what the world needs to hear now. Sure, we can go and demonstrate acts of kindness in the name of Christ. I'm not saying we don't do that, but ultimately, the greatest favour we can do to anyone is to let them know their mortality. And I don't mean just the mortality that, yes, everyone knows we shall die. I mean the fragility of life and of the uncertainty of life. And that there is a certainty beyond this life that if they be not bowing the knee to the Saviour, they shall face the judgment of God. That's what we need to point people to. Not just that there is a judgment of God in the temporal world. They'll hear that and they'll move on to the next situation. People need to be brought to see that whenever and wherever they pass this life, there is a judgment to come. That's the most important thing we need to point them to. Everyone born into this world, that birthday was appointed by the sovereign will of the Almighty. As indeed are the very length of days purposed for our lives. And we cannot prolong them beyond what God has permitted. Some might say, well, what about respirators? What about life support machines? Even they fail in the end when the time comes. So I'm not being like some of these irresponsible people who say, well, we don't need medical science. Of course we do. God has given us these things. But there still comes a point when medicine can go no further. If you're following what I'm saying. Yes, we take medical advice. Yes, as long as medicine is enabled by God to prolong our life. But it's not prolonging our life any longer than God has purposed it. He's just purposed that our life should be prolonged further. And so if you, God forbid, are knocked down in the street outside and you receive first class medical treatment and you are resuscitated, why is that? It's because God has not permitted that your life should end. The two work in perfect harmony. In perfect harmony. But yet, we cannot go beyond that which God has allowed. As we read in Job 14:5, seeing his days speaks of man as seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. I don't know if I will wake up tomorrow morning. I just don't know, do I? His months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. There's a boundary. There's a boundary. And no one whose time is up can pass any further. Well, we don't know when that is. We don't know when that is. Therefore we live. We live today knowing that today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed hour. We make our calling and election sure. Therefore, we are always ready to meet with our Maker. Secondly, all human life is, everything about life is but fragile. Everything in life is fragile. Not just physically, everything we do, everything we plan to do is fragile. Just ask those people who are looking forward to going to Disneyland. Just ask those people. They make great plans. Much disappointment. And many other things people have planned to do. We've planned to have a few days away in the West Country next month. We don't know if that's God's will or not. We will soon know. We will soon know. All human life is but fragile. And at times like this, one good thing that comes from it, one good thing that can come out of it is for the Lord, and the Lord must do this, is for the Lord to reveal such truths that life is something that cannot be taken for granted. Nothing can be taken for granted. Absolutely nothing can be taken for granted. And that we all depend upon the grace of God. All of us. Without exception. Just this morning, an elderly lady rang up and she was talking about this possibility of elderly people being asked to stay at home. And then she was, in the context of that, she was saying, well, our life's allotted for us anyway. She was shot down. Oh no, that's not true. She was probably from a generation that had some teaching from the Bible, maybe. We all make our plans. We have to make plans. We all make our plans, as so many are finding themselves, as I said, disappointed when plans are not coming to pass now. Due to circumstances beyond their control. You've heard what it means to be when people are called control freaks. They want to have control over everything. But many people are finding, even in the nuts and bolts of daily life, they are losing control. Oh, we should be praying that the Lord will be humbling people to see that he's the only one in control. God's word says of our plans in James 4, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And we don't say it as just as a cliche, the Lord willing, but yet nonetheless, we have that principle, the Lord willing, then when things don't come to pass, we acknowledge it is not the Lord's will. But that is not the way of the world, is it? Life and all the events taken for granted are all dependent upon the goodness and grace of God Almighty. Why? Because we are but men. We are but a vapor. We are but here for a season. We are as the grass of the field. I remember having to read that. Well, not having to. That's the reading that came to me. Thinking of something to read at the funeral of dear Marina. At the graveside. And I wonder whether people really took that in. Where is the flower of the grass that withers is burnt up? But the word of the Lord endures forever. What's that word of the Lord? It's the word of life. The words of eternal life. That word which by the gospel was preached unto you, Peter says. Oh, if people would hear that today. If people would hear that today, there wouldn't be so much hysteria. There would be contentment and peace. And harmony. Thirdly, we are but men. We are but men. We are but men. We are but created of God. Not as the Darwinistic, atheistic people have been calling us a herd. If they want to call us something here, they want to call the people of God, the people of Christ, anything, we are a flock, not a herd. We're the flock of Christ. And he is our master shepherd. And he does all things well. And we know his voice. And he makes us to lie down in green pastures. We are not animals. But we should be wary of such language, whether it's meant so or not. We should still be wary of such language in the coming days, well beyond this current emergency. We are not animals, but rather are all created in the image of God Almighty. We all, each one, whether man acknowledges it, it is so or not, are totally and utterly dependent upon God Almighty for life. End of story. We cannot give ourselves life, and we cannot prolong life. We depend upon him, the giver of life and the sustainer of life. Isaiah 42:5 says, he that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath unto the people upon it. God gave you your breath this morning, and He will sustain it tonight, God willing. We depend upon Him for every breath. Every breath. The Lord gives life and takes it away. Why do people just get told that at funerals? If they were told it in the land of the living, they would be brought to be mindful of God. And so often people are far too proud to acknowledge their need of God. As I've said, there's very little mention of God. And whenever God is mentioned right now, it is spoken of as if it's a fairy story, or as if it is some kind of a medieval belief that we've moved on from. We are so much more advanced from. But yet nothing's changed. Nothing's changed in our need of God. Whether we deny Him or acknowledge Him, we still need Him. And in that same book of Daniel, which we read earlier, we read of Nebuchadnezzar's son, who didn't heed the warning of God. Unlike his father, who was brought low and was humbled before God and was restored before God and acknowledged God, he found himself weighed in the balance and found wanting before God and still refused and still rejected and still rebelled against the living God. Daniel 5:23 tells that proud, wicked king, not Belteshazzar, but Belshazzar. Don't confuse him with the same name that was given to Daniel. King Belshazzar was told of the Almighty being the God in whose hand your breath is. Oh, if people were brought to see that. God has your breath in His hand. And He has your breath in His hand, and He prolongs your life breath. Could it just be in His grace and mercy, prolonging your days, that you might be brought to know His salvation? That's what people need to know in these days. Each of us, for each of us, this is true also. That is not to say we do not take medical advice, as I said, or medical treatment, for that comes from God Himself. He gives the wisdom for that. Yet, as in all circumstances of life, with all the sicknesses, the wars, the violences, of all kinds which surround us, and the dangers of various kinds, and all manner of uncertainties of life, we are to be ready. We are to be ready to come to that point when our earthly life comes to its certain end. That's the message that should be proclaimed in these days. For finally, this message is good news to those who are being saved. This is good news to those who are made wise unto salvation. This is good news who are being brought and to be made alive by the Spirit of God, who reveals Christ in them. This is good news. We who have the certainty of salvation in Christ Jesus are to pray that those we know, that those we know and come into contact with throughout all these circumstances, not just that which we are speaking of in these days at the moment, but all these circumstances of life, all these uncertainties, anxieties in life, may be brought to a fear and a reverence towards the Almighty, knowing that that is a certainty to bring them to see the Saviour. It's the beginning of wisdom. We're promised that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is in the gospel. Wisdom is in the cross of Jesus Christ. Wisdom is Christ. For amid so much bad news, such bad news in the world, we have the one message. We have the one message of hope and peace of mind eternally. Not just till the next problem comes along, but eternally. For as we see again in Hebrews 9, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This is good news. We have good news to tell. For Christ Jesus, who was crucified and rose victoriously from the grave to save his people from their sins, has taken all fear away. That's the message that we can tell. We don't know that those people we come into contact with, ourselves, those in our family and our friends, we don't know whether this particular emergency will be unto mortality. We don't know. But we can tell them this with absolute confidence. Those who trust in Christ, they know themselves to have passed from death to life. They know that beyond this life, there is no fear, because death is swallowed up in victory in Christ Jesus. Let us learn to give thanks personally to the Lord for each day. For each day. Value in each day. Let us learn to give thanks to the Lord for each day that he lends gifts to us. As we close this psalm, and we remember ourselves to be but men before God, totally dependent upon him, we repeat those words at the beginning. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. May God enable us to show forth his greatest work, salvation in his Son, the Lord Jesus, in these times of trial, disappointment, uncertainty, and much sadness. May we be the clarion call of joy, grace, mercy, and salvation. Amen.